Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Welcome to Daily News. I am Ross Chanley. This is Jack Gill. We are brought to you in association with The Athletic, the new home of football writing. And as a Redmen News listener or viewer, you're entitled to a 7-day free trial and 50% off your yearly subscription. Just head to www.theathletic.co.uk/Redmen News. I'll get Tom to put it in the chat and in the link in the description beneath. So if you like your football writing, you don't want ads on your written content, they do your editing like certain websites do, naming no names. Head over there, some really good stuff, some different stuff as well. But most of the content at the minute, as some of the stuff that we've done and the news predominantly today, is of the fallout of, you know, the Champions League stuff and Premier League games, Champions League games, football in general, getting suspended, put off behind closed doors. We're going to do a bit in depth on that. I'd love your opinions and your thoughts as we go through each subject, and Tom will collect some comments towards the end. Jack, we're going to start off with an Athletic article, which was written yesterday. But bear with me because it's kind of already out of date because some of the news is broken today, and I'm sure as we do the news, yeah, that might change again, so please just bear with us. But it's talking about the impact on a ban on crowds to have on games and on clubs. To answer the question, you need to split it into two parts, as the impacts are very different for different clubs. Every competition organiser from the EFL to UEFA is desperate to complete their competitions as best they can this season, and that means carrying on behind closed doors until June if necessary. Matchday revenues only account for about a seventh of Premier League clubs' total income, with more than half coming from broadcasters. Playing games without fans would be far from ideal, but it would not bankrupt them. That is, however, is not the case further down the pyramid. For clubs without parachute payments in the Championship, matchday income is about a third of their total pot, rising to two-thirds in League One and League Two. And it goes on to talk about Bury and the knock-on effect on them. Jack, I think it's so easy to see from a fan perspective, from a Liverpool's perspective, if, you know, when it starts to affect you. I think there's already talks, we'll go on to in a minute, of games this weekend or even from today potentially being behind closed doors. It's not nice because obviously we want to go to things, we want to watch the football, we want to go to the pub, we want to watch it. But the knock-on effect for, you know, lower league clubs, and it's not just football clubs, it's businesses, mm-hmm, you know, in society. Yeah. If, you know, again, a pub is an example, that the effect that not showing games in pubs will have on them and people's livelihoods, it's pretty serious, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very serious. And I mean, not looking at it from a football perspective, but looking at it from a human being perspective, obviously nothing matters more than life, really. And that's the thing, it threatens a lot of things, and football being one of them, obviously. But it's like you said, livelihood, people's careers, people's jobs, people, literally everything this is affecting at the minute. And it's not just football, it's as you say, bars, restaurants, every small business, every local business can be in trouble from this, and it's one of them situations that's not very avoidable right now, but you have to do what you can to try and protect everybody right now. Yeah. Because this is a worldwide thing.
I'll admit I was out guilty of being ignorant about yeah, a week or so ago, and got almost laughed it off. Where I, you know, in hindsight, I probably shouldn't have done it. Apologise if I've offended anyone by doing so. But again, it's that ignorance, and again, I had it of, until it directly affects you. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we mentioned it on one of the shows before, you know, like swine flu or Ebola or stuff like that. You kind of think, oh yeah, okay, that's fine. But like, you know, football's obviously our livelihood, is it? You know, it's my job. It's what I do at weekends, or, you know, at night times I love to go and watch it, to have that kind of taken away from you. That's when it becomes real, doesn't it?
I think it's because we're so used to, obviously, the whole idea these days of obviously a lot of it's come from that twat Donald Trump, but the whole idea of fake news. And you see so much of it where it makes you question sometimes whether what's real and what's not. So when you see stuff like this, I think it's very easy to say, it's not going to happen. Yeah, yeah. They're just trying to scare us, until it actually comes this close where you're seeing, obviously, Tom Hanks getting it. You're seeing Rugani in Serie A getting it, you're seeing the NBA being suspended because of it. It's one of them things where you don't realise what's going on until it becomes very serious. And right now, I think it's gone from being, as you said, something that people are laughing about to something that people are quite rightly very worried about.
Yeah.
And it's something that obviously people are also very confused about right now. It's as we spoke a lot about on the build-up show for the Everton game, it's the fear of the unknown, and right now nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody knows who exactly it's going to affect and how it's going to affect people.
There was a thread, David Maddock, a good friend of the show, who writes to the Mirror.
I thought that was a brilliant thread.
Yeah, it was. If you get a chance, just go and have a quick look at it. And he basically said, you know, it's quite bad in Madrid at the minute, and they're banned from obviously watching their games. As of today, the league has been suspended, hasn't it? But they're allowed to fly over to Liverpool and bring it over here, which is probably neglect on the government side on this part.
It'll be interesting to see how many cases go up in Liverpool over the next week or so because of that. And I think it's poor from the government, but I think also the government have clearly made this clear what they're going to do, and that they're going to try and make sure that the peak is delayed. But they're basically saying that we're all going to get it at some point.
So the news today, games to be played behind closed doors as part of coronavirus crisis plan to start as early as today. Live stream ticket for holding fans. All football matches in England will be played behind closed doors on the government plans to combat the coronavirus that could be triggered as early as today. A meeting the government's core committee, which I think is ongoing right now, is this morning expected to move its response to the pandemic from contained to delay. The result that can, in the crisis plan being unveiled for football, the Times can reveal the current season will not be postponed. Instead, matches in the Premier League and lower divisions will be moved behind closed doors. All Premier League season ticket holders and ticket holders for individual games will be able to stream coverage of matches into their homes. I'm not entirely sure how that's going to work yet, but again, when we have more, we'll let you know. No games will be shown in pubs, so as to avoid congregation of people. Premier League games will not be shown live in the 3 p.m. slot on Saturday afternoons. Broadcasters will be permitted to screen more than one Premier League game during both lunchtime and tea time television slots on Saturday, and schedule slots for Sundays and Mondays, and season tickets will be able to watch it. So, again, you know,
The thing is, Ross, this could massively change football. You know, for years people have been suggesting things about clubs creating their own television servers and their own broadcasting things. This may be the start of that, you know. It may be the start of LFC TV being able to show games, because we do not know how long this could go on for. It could go into the start of next season. Probably not.
Well, they haven't got the right
but long term, if you're looking at this, we don't know when this whole thing is going to end.
Yeah.
And it might be that over the summer they're preparing for next season. This is the only thing they can do.
Yeah.
It may be that you either don't have football and people lose a lot of money in the football business, or they do it and they need to find a way to get clubs their money back, and that might be the only answer. And it's going to be interesting to see this whole saga and how it pans out and how long it goes on for, because this is the thing at the moment. Nobody knows when it's going to end.
No. Let us know your thoughts in the comments. Would you rather have games postponed and done at a later date, or health and safety is paramount, carry on with the games and put it behind closed doors? The pub stuff is interesting, Jack, because again, I mentioned it last week, you know, whether you play it behind closed doors, well, I'll just go to the pub and watch it. And again, that's not the case. And it's terrible, as we mentioned before, for local business, for pubs, restaurants, the local economy in each city, for whoever's playing. You can't go and do that. But also, to reduce the risk of this spreading even further, I understand it.
Yeah, it's very understandable, but it's questionable as to how will people do it. Because as you say, it's people's livelihoods. In Italy, I know they've suspended, obviously, mortgages and stuff like that, which I think, if it is to happen here in England, then they have to do exactly the same, because there is no way people will be able to afford things. If for example, you're not allowed to go to the pub, you look at pubs that are specifically sports bars, you look at Beer Keller, how are they going to cope if they can't have people going to watch the football there? What is going to happen? So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next few weeks or even days, because it's looking like this is going to get a lot more real, a lot quicker.
Yeah, we've got... Not plans, but we're having discussions at the minute of what we're going to do about our content as well. Obviously, we'll still be going, but obviously those that can't go to the game, we're trying to do something a little bit different. We've done the hot mic sessions before. I think we're probably going to do that for the Everton game, but we'll have more news as and when we get that. So we think you're going to be bored, not be able to watch the football. We might do a couple more live shows over on the main Red Men channel. So we'll keep you going with your football fix as much as we can. But obviously, breaking news again, carrying on with this, UEFA are reviewing whether to suspend the Champions League and Europa League due to the coronavirus. Again, knock-on effect of football. You mentioned the league has been suspended, the NBA has been suspended. I think MLS might have been suspended as well. It kind of makes sense. And this again could be from tonight.
Absolutely. I think they have to act quick, because obviously the Europa League ties tonight. You've got Obviously, Real Madrid, we found out before going live, Real Madrid are in quarantine now for 15 days, supposedly.
It's like that, yeah, that game's in doubt, isn't it? Yeah.
It's one of them situations where they've got to act quickly, but I'd just like to say excellent planning from Jurgen Klopp once again, making sure that we retain the Champions League for a second season, not worrying about it because he knows it's going to be suspended, so good man.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully they don't do the same with the Premier League and we just kind of come and dust as soon as possible. Yeah, I'm being a bit selfish. You mentioned it there, Jack. Liverpool have been knocked out of the Champions League tie. Feeling slightly better about, I don't think that's a bad choice of words, but like I was so annoyed and disappointed last night. But again, on reflection, can't fault the efforts. Let us know your thoughts on the game in the comments again below. But Virgil van Dijk has been reacting to it. He said, we just have to keep going on. And it's probably the right attitude. He said, Van Dijk told LiverpoolFC.com, we know we have the quality, we know we have been doing it all season. I think people forget those things pretty quickly. If things are not going well for a couple of games, but that's the reality of it too. That's of how people look at us. We've been outstanding the whole season and we just have to keep doing what we were doing. It's not easy, but the thing now is just make sure that we were ready for a very tough game on Monday. I think he's right, Jack, isn't it? You know, you think, not that the FA Cup, we lost the Watford, so we lost the Invincibles thing, not that the Champions League, you can't help but go. You can't help but be angry, disappointed. That's just a natural reaction of being a football fan. But I think he's right on the perspective of things. And this is the same. Great. I am not fine with going out of the Champions League. I'm not fine with going out of the FA Cup. But again, I just stop and think about it and go, in our lifetimes, you know, what are you, 21?
20 nearly.
20. Yeah. I'm 30 years of age. Liverpool haven't won the title in our lifetimes. Yeah, or maybe I was a couple of months old. I know it's people hate this, but again, start of season. Right, you're going to win the Premier League title.
This is the thing. Look, I'm absolutely distraught every time we go out of competition. I told you that this morning. Yeah. Like, I want to win every competition. I'm a football fan. I'm a Liverpool fan. I want us to win every competition we're entered in. However, we've had an unfortunate few weeks, and obviously we've lost our unbeaten run in the Premier League against Watford with what was a poor performance. Yeah. We've been knocked out of the FA Cup with where we've had chances, but we were wasteful but poor defensively. And then last night, I think we fucking gave everything, and that was the thing. It was a lot different where we put absolutely everything into that game. It was individual mistakes and disappointing. Obviously, our back being incredible in the Madrid goal. So I think it was one of them where last night was hard to take, but it's one of them where you can't fault the lads, the majority of the lads, for their performance.
And again, it's cliche. There was quite a lot of positives to take. Yeah, Mo Salah, I thought, was excellent last night. Chamberlain was excellent last night. You know, we still got this Premier League to go for, so let's go and get that done as soon as possible before they cancel the league. Tom, let's have some questions and comments, please.
Yeah, let's see. We're going to kick it off with the coronavirus stuff. Quite a few, actually. Kevin Cooper just says, I'm living in China. Please take things seriously. We can celebrate with the boys later. Marshall Mathers just says, if coronavirus stops us from winning the league, I will never watch football ever again. Danny H says something interesting. Games need to be postponed, not fair on season ticket holders.
I agree with that. And even the people, you know, that pay for like Sky packages and BT Sports packages, you know, you pay for that, can't see them being reimbursed with the money. And again, likewise, you bought tickets, we know people, you know, come and watch Liverpool from all over the world, you bought, pay for flight hotels, you can't go to the game. Again, health and safety is paramount in that sense. But I agree with the sentiment of, part of me would want the games to go on so we can get the league done, but that's me being selfish. But also, I agree with you being postponing the games. And Kevin as well, who's out in China, thanks for your comment as well. I think, you know, in the sense of it all, pretty much if, you know, things are bad, and that's what I've seen before, like until it affects you, you're not really bothered about it. But things are getting serious pretty quickly, aren't they?
Absolutely. It's one of the things, as we say, starting with the season ticket holders, I think it's heartbreaking for them, because obviously we know as Liverpool fans that last game of the season tickets were going for a lot of money and people have already bought them tickets. So it's one of them where they don't get refunded, do they? So it's difficult for them, but as you say, health and safety comes first, people's safety comes first. And as that comment came from China, he knows exactly what's going on there at the minute, and he knows that the safety of the people is at the minute more important than football. And I think we really need to start taking this seriously.
Just lastly on that, Stuart Wisby says, Joe Rogan's podcast has a great amount of knowledge on the coronavirus. I can second that.
It's really got like 6 million views or something, hasn't it? I saw a tweet before, actually.
It's fantastic. Yeah. I've been listening to it. I've been off sick.
You've been sick and you're still sick as well, so you shouldn't really be in here.
I shouldn't be here, but
we've got work to do. Safe distance away from us.
Yeah, but yeah, everyone go and listen to that podcast because it's spot on. A lot of comments on yesterday, as you'd expect. Father Nature, and I don't really agree with this, but here we go. Fed up with our form, we really do bottle most things. This has turned from a year of glory into a year of embarrassment. I don't agree at all, but a lot of people are having that sentiment, to be honest.
I understand, as I said before, being angry and being disappointed, but I think, you know, you take things on in perspective of saying, well, is it embarrassing the fact that, you know, we won the Super Cup, we're currently world champions, we're still currently European champions, about to win a Premier League title. I get you want to win every trophy. We all want to go and do that. I agree with the form thing. I think that's probably more disappointing than some of the results. Look at Bournemouth, Norwich, West Ham, Chelsea, Watford, all below par performances. But also think of what this Liverpool side has achieved so far, and don't take that for granted either. We've all been spoilt with really good football over the past two seasons. We've all been spoilt by the points tally that we've got. We've been spoilt with the fact that we won loads of trophies. You know, we're not entitled to win everything, and things do happen. That's the way football goes sometimes. Last night's performance, I thought, was excellent. Yeah. But, you know, it's just the rub of the green. It sometimes doesn't go our way. Poor finishing, yes, I agree with that. That cost us. Adrian, cost us. Oblak, cost us. You know, it's just the way that it goes sometimes.
It's difficult. I don't
it's
agree.
It's far from an embarrassment as well, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. I don't agree with the wording of that whatsoever. I think there are points to take from that, as Ross said, you can kind of agree with, but I don't think we're an embarrassment. I don't think we bottle everything. I just think people are getting too greedy. We know this Liverpool side is special. We know that we don't need trophies to show that. And yes, trophies would be amazing, but we're about to confirm our first title in 30 years. And for me, that is enough. And you say, obviously, the media hyped us up. They compared us to this team, that team, that team. Don't do that until we are winning the same amount of trophies as that. Just appreciate this Liverpool side. And as you say, yes, we knocked out the Champions League last night, but let's go again next season and let's see.
We've already qualified.
Exactly. We're already qualified. Let's go again next season and let's try and do more things next season. Look, if we won everything this season, football, we may as well stop supporting football, aren't we?
The come down's just massive, then, exactly. Isn't it? Tom, have you got one more? Are you going to say something?
Yeah, just adding to that sentiment, Todd Weston says, sick of seeing the fans abuse Adrian and the team. This season is still magical with the most prized trophy in our grasp. Let's rally and finish strong, Reds. And then Nuzo says, the people that expect us to win every game have only supported us this year and don't know what it was like losing 3-1 to Villa in 2010.
And the rest.
Stoke on the last game of the season.
The Hodgson years and all that stuff, we shouldn't do that. And again, like, we created loads of chances last night. Got back to watching football. Yeah. We had like Lambert, Balotelli and Fabio Reina up front, but we didn't do anything. And I think you have to take some context in that sense of going, okay, yes, it hurts. I understand that you're upset that we got out of the Champions League. I understand that you're upset that we've been poor of late. But, you know, that happened.
We weren't poor last night, though. Not last night, but all the games
that I mentioned, the performances were poor and it's been hard to watch. And again, last night was hard at times because you're a Liverpool fan, you just want us to win, you're within your rights to go and say that. I don't necessarily agree with it, but that doesn't mean that you're wrong because you're entitled to your opinion. We're going to wrap up there. Jack, thank you very much. If you have any more news on what's going on with the football on Monday, we'll let you know. Don't forget to go and check out theathletic.co.uk/redmennews to go and start your 7-day free trial and 50% off your yearly subscription. We'll be back tomorrow with some more news and we'll see you then. Ta-ra.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.